this Sabbath. When we chose the text for this message today, we want to say something that boosts your confidence when the why visits your brain. I want you to look at this verse and think, who was God thinking when he inspired this text? But you. And who is you? All right? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. And the why I put the color in the bottom and all capitalized, because I believe I like to apply this way when it talks about the marvelous light, is talk about Jesus himself and we all light with him, okay? And so I like this text because this text addresses the why. When we as human beings are growing and develop our ability to reason, I don't know if you have been around a child that just started learning to speak, and you say something and say, why? Right? And then sometimes it's just an act of rebellious attitude that they developed. Sometimes it is just a normal, you know, development. A child needs to exercise, needs to acquire knowledge, because it's knowledge that they acquire that it will define their own personality. It's how they become a person. And so not all whys are rebellious. Most of the whys are legit, a very wonderful tool for a human being to develop into a successful, or in some case even a failure. Depends how they apply this procedure. But you are chosen. I like that God here decided to tell a person, you know, you are unique because I chose you. I don't know how many of you have been in a situation when you have one in 100 opportunity that gift that it will be given to one of you. I will give one gift of you because you all here. So let's get a ticket. And I never play those things because it never comes my number. We went to a pastor's meeting this quite a few years ago, and there was a conference president that used to, in order to motivate everybody to be on time and all the pastors there to be on time, they would give a lot of gifts. And when we registered, we get a ticket, and we wait until the end, because that was the secret, the gifts will be given at the end. So it forced people to stay there in the meeting, no matter how boring the meeting was, we had to stay. And then he called a number for the bicycle. I didn't even need to check mine. And the bicycle went to somebody else. Oh, an iPad. Oh, I want that iPad so bad. It went to somebody else. And then, and all the gifts in front was disappearing one by one. And there I am with my ticket all the time. But I don't look this in a negative way, because I realize that even though in those cheap things, my number is not called, but my number has been called many times to very precious things. So that's why I don't realize that, when little things don't come about, don't question the whys, because there is a purpose for everything. The message today is the why, or someone may say the whys, but I'm emphasizing the single why. The two most important days of your life, have you thought about it? If I ask all of you here, what is the most important, what would you classify as the most important day of your life? Birth? the day you got baptized, birth. Same, it's birth. The two of you agreed, it's birth. And I said, somebody says, got married. And many, you know, all the day that I graduated in you know, high school that I thought I was going to make, or college, or it could be many different reasons. But today, I hope you understand that there is one day that is, without this day, it is the birth. New birth, or without existing, without being, there is no whys. There are people that are born, but they do not, because for medical reason or something happens, they do not have the reason, ability to reason. You know, they have a problem. Then for them, there's no whys. Because there, in order for you to understand the why, you have to be able to reason. Okay? Here, the two most important days in your life are, according to this individual, you already saw his picture, the day you were born, there's a candle for that, and the day that you find out why. This is what, I think he got this very, I really like the code. That's what I brought in and put it in the screen, and I spent a lot of time to make sure that it is amazing that many people realize that to be born, beasts are born too. That doesn't give them as much as meaning as the ability to understand why I am here. Why me? Why I was chosen to be here? Why me? How many times we have asked this in many different aspects of life, especially when sometimes something bad happens to us, we feel like, why, Lord? Why me? And sometimes we even say, there are people that do so many bad things and they look how happy they are. And the Bible says clearly, do not pay attention to the wicked when they grow fast, because their fall is certain. Sometimes we look at the bad people and see they prosper and see that we are so struggling. We are very faithful to the Lord as much as we can. And then we ask why. Don't ask that kind of why. Just have faith. The two most important days of our life. I'm going to repeat this in almost every slide so that it stays. Why am I here? What is the purpose for my existence? Some people are just like vegetables. They grow because the seed was there on the floor and the dirt on top of them, and they get some water and they grow. But they have no reason. It's just by instinct. They just grow. We cannot live a life like this. And if you are an age that you think, oh, I'm already a senior, there is no reason for you to give up in life when you're still alive. Keep searching for the why and invest. The purpose of life is to be productive, is to have a purpose in reaching a goal that you may establish for yourself, or especially if God has established that goal for you, which is to reflect His own image. Finding your why is vital. And the word vital comes from Latin, means it's life. Those of you that speak other language, vita, you know, and vida is vital. It says, find why is life so meaningful, because it will shape your inmost motivations, also the desire, and your own character. You cannot not invest time to find out this answer to this why. When you understand the divine purpose for you, then this happens. Then you will more easily align your steps and actions to achieve the things that are eternal. There is no eternity unless there is a why, a purpose in your existence. Find your why means discovering the purpose. your reason, and I emphasize the word reason, for getting up every day. Sometimes we just get up from the bed, but we don't even think, why am I getting up? Why do I get an extra day of life? Why am I going to do this? Why do I eat this? Why? We need to search for purpose. We cannot just vegetate in life. We need to have some guidance. The reason for getting up every day must becoming a productive human being. That must be the main goal. God has given me abilities. How I use it, I justify His trust in me. So it's very important to use our abilities. It is about understanding what drives you and what will want to achieve with your life. Sometimes what drives you should not be the one who is doing the driving, if you know what I mean. You should be doing the driving, or let God do the driving, which is much better. Okay? The power of purpose is not just a fashionable concept that somebody... It is. I found this. It's, you know, I cannot give you all the details, but when I was reading this, it says that even studies have shown by... is a scientific proof that to have a life of a purpose, it is what makes people much happier and driven with motivation. Studies have shown that individuals who have a strong sense of purpose, look what happened, are more motivated, are more engaged, and optimistic and productive. In short, it is better to be around people who has purpose. It's hard, very hard, and even dangerous to be around people who has no purpose for living. Because not only they destroy themselves, but they destroy everything around them. And as you, if you see it, today's is very like that. What is your why? Have you taken time to ask why I'm here? Why God chose me? There are so many billions of people that have never heard about Christ. Doesn't even know about eternal life. And He chose you to be here, to be part of His family. Amen. Yes, you can see this picture. Can you imagine what this picture means? You have a purpose road that can lead you to a purpose. And then you have a road that is just a question mark. Certainty. How many people choose the path to the left instead of to the right? Know your why. Make sure that it's solid. Discover your why today, brothers and sisters, if you have not thought about it. Seek the Lord to find a purpose for your existence. When God says, I will create you in my own image, He had intent for you to be forever, to look like Him forever. Now let me give you some biblical examples of people that have a very confused life. But one day they met Jesus, and then they found the why they were there. This lady here, and as you can see in the note, she was from Samaria. Do you know what Samaria were, the Samaritans? They were people that no longer believed in the religion of the South, which is the Jewish religion. They only kept the first five books of the Bible. And that's all that they claim as scripture. And they did not like much the Jewish people. And in turn, the Jewish people did not like them much at all. They were very mixed. Not only mixed as far as the race, but they were mixed as far as their beliefs. They got beliefs from everywhere. And so this lady had all the things going in her life. She had a business of stealing husbands. And she comes to the to the well in a time that nobody was supposed to be there. She wanted to be there by herself. But this day, Jesus was there waiting for her. And being a Jew, and ask her to give him something, even to speak to her, it was shocking. And I can imagine all those question marks on top of her head. Why? Why is this guy even talking to me? You know, supposed to. And as you know the story, that was a turning point in her life. Is when realized that she found why God created her. Immediately, she went to the city. Now she was no longer hiding. She found the light, the living water. And she started preaching. She went from a despicable sinner into a preacher. Just because she talked to Jesus and found out why she was there. Why she was chosen to be among the living. Here's another lady. Now, in the year 591, the Bishop of Rome, one of the few first ones, decided that this lady was supposed to be Mary of Magdalene. But we have a very controversial thing that he did this because he wanted everybody to admire Mary Magdalene a lot. And he didn't want for her to compete with Mary, the mother of Jesus. So he decided to say, oh, she was a prostitute. And from there on, he put a label on her and he got stuck. And today, even people that are known Roman Catholics still assume that this lady that was caught in adultery was also Mary Magdalene. That's not biblical. Okay? So the Bible does say that she was a person that was always supporting Jesus Christ and his ministry. But this is, I will call, just like the Bible called, a woman. A woman that was caught in adultery. And you know the story. She was brought before Jesus Christ. She was being used to, they were using her to try to be a bait for Jesus Christ, for him to make a false claim so that they would have reason to arrest him. And here is the story. You can read this in John 8, verse 1 all the way to 11. It says, she was caught, she was brought. And here is one point that even this day, almost 2,000 years later, people are using this story to say that, Jesus accept everybody the way they are. Is that true? No. Yeah, that's true. But what is not true is the next step. Is how they use the next step. They say, Jesus accept you the way you are, but never for you to remain the same way. Never. And I put the portion of theirs that many people skip. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. And Jesus used this expression a few times when he heals the lepers. They said the same thing. If you don't change and you go back, it will be even worse. And so we are all motivated by his grace to change, never to remain the same. Grace is not for those that want to remain the same. Grace for those that want opportunity to change. That's what God gives grace. It's just like a door that God says, you want to go through this door? Here's the key. But if you have no plan to stay inside, why are you so insisting in getting through the door? If you have no intention to stay inside, you want to come back. So you need to go and see no more. Here is Mary Magdalene. Okay, you find Luke 8, 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. You can read that. Mary Magdalene was a woman who, according to the four Gospels, And by the way, do you know why Gregory in 591 was so anxious to stain her reputation? Because she is mentioned all over the Bible, I mean the Gospels, even more than some of the apostles. She is mentioned more times, because you notice that in the resurrection, she was there. The crucifixion, she was there. Throughout his ministry, all the miracles, she was always there serving and providing for his ministry. She is mentioned by name 12 times in the Gospels, more than most of the apostles and more than any other woman in the Gospel. Only Mary, the mother of Jesus, only the family of Jesus is mentioned more than her. But she is mentioned more than anybody else in that case. Now here's another person. Now if you look at the picture only, you may say, yeah, that could be applied as Abraham. That can be. Is it an individual that the Bible says that he walked with God? Who do you think he is?
Enoch.
Oh, yes. Enoch walked with God. In all the things that I can say about an individual, imagine if your neighbor is saying the same thing about you. What about if your spouse says that about you? My husband walks with God.
Amen.
Do you know what is good compliment that will be?
Yeah.
If your husband walks with God and you are by him, you are with God too.
Yes.
Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. There is a pastor, he mentioned during this sermon, I listened to him, to sermon, says, I love my wife so much, if she leaves me, I'll follow her. He used this line all the time. And we always thought it was very funny. He said, I love my wife so much that if she leaves me, I'll follow her. I'll be right. It says, Enoch, Genesis 5:24 is what it says. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. If you choose to walk with God, that will be the why that will define the purpose for your existence. And God will take you. He will take you very soon. Walk with God, my brothers and sisters. Let the walk be the define why for your existence. I was created by God to give him glory with my life. I was created to reflect his image. I must walk with God. There is no other walk that takes me anywhere. So let's be like Enoch. Let's walk with God. There is another version that says that somebody else also walked with God. Yes. Now, what is unique about Noah? That Noah represents us, a person living in a very difficult time at the end of the world. That is us. We are the Noahs of today. It says in Genesis 6:9, it talks about he walked with God. You can read that in Genesis 6, verse 9. Yes, like Noah, he walked with God. When nobody else seems to be interested in religion, don't become discouraged when you leave the church and see how the world is going. Sometimes we pay too much attention to what the negatives and very little attention to the positives. Remember, the why will help you to define the positives in your life. It's very important. Now, who do you think this person is? It starts with A, and then I have a B. He has the father of all nations, and also biblically saying our spiritual father. Abraham, in Isaiah 41, verse 8, you can read the verse on your own. It says, he is my friend. What a way to imagine God calling you my friend, and I know he can call you my friend. And then in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, it says, your friend forever, forever. Everything, you know, God is in a forever business. If you walk with him, it's supposed to be forever. If you are his friend, it's forever. If you are his creature, it's supposed to be forever. James 2:23 says, he was called the friend of God. What do they call you? Open your Bibles, please. In Ecclesiastes, yes, we are. You always get so used to the see everything on the screen. Today, I says I have to do something a little bit different. Because I noticed that when we put everything in the screen, then we start seeing some Z's all over the place. So I said, no, today I'm going to ask them to open the Bibles. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. What we find in Ecclesiastes is there is a time for everything. Right in the beginning, verse 1, 3 verse 1. All right, it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to sleep. That's my version. I prefer that way better, right? It says, a time to be born and a time to fall asleep. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Life has to have a purpose. It says, let me rephrase this. There is a why for everything. Yes, there is a purpose for every activity under heaven. Or either the purpose is to glorify God and embrace eternity, or to embrace darkness and face eternal death. Now, I'd like you to, one of my favorite verses of the Bible is the same chapter, but I want you to, if you go to verse 14, please. 3, verse 14. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14. It says, I know that everything that God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that man or humans will revere him. Now, when the Bible says this, I read something here that maybe you know you don't see it, but I see it. Because it says, I know that everything that God does will endure. I think about Jesus died on the cross. Yeah. I think about my baptism. I think the first time that I had a Bible, that I started reading the Bible, I know that he had a purpose, a why for me. And so I says, I know that God made me, and I must last forever, because that everything that God does lasts forever. God never intend for us to die. Now, who do you think this individual is? A bad swimmer? No. He was a fish man. He was raised in the water. But how come this day he sunk? I used to make a joke, a pastor's joke. I say, you know, the reason why he sunk is because Peter is a rock. Now, Peter is actually a stone. He's not a rock. But, you know, he was here. He was the only one. We have to give credit for him. There was a bunch of disciples there, and the boat was shaking, and everybody was afraid. They were crying. They were afraid to die. And here comes Jesus walking in water. And Peter was the one. Is that you, Master? Yes. Can I go? And he came. Step on the water. No other disciple can claim that. He was the only one who walked in the water besides Jesus Christ. He walked a little bit and then he realized. Oh no. And he went down. When we take our eyes away from Christ, it doesn't matter, we always will sink. And believe me, immediately he saw the hand of Jesus Christ taking him out. I hope, my brothers and sisters, when comes that moment in your life, that why, that you see his hand, that will tell you that you have been chosen. Here's another individual. He first decided that the reason why, the purpose of his life, was to be a very dedicated, very zealous spiritual leader. His name was Saul. And he went around persecuting Christians. And he thought that he was doing God's work. For 1,260 years, there was a church, and there is a church, that believed by killing God's people, they were doing God's work. There are people today that are doing a lot of evil things, and they claim they are doing for the right reasons. They are mixed up with their whys. They are misled. And he was one. But his heart was so in the right place, even though he was doing the wrong thing. Can you relate to that? Sometimes we have good intentions, but we are 100% wrong. And that is not good. Good intentions doesn't resolve. But because of his good heart, God decided to show up in his life, literally. And as he was going to Damascus to arrest Christians, to do what he believed was God's telling him to do, the Lord Jesus Christ came and told him, "Why are you persecuting me? And who are you?" I want you to know that what is beautiful about this experience is when it says, "Why are you persecuting me?" When anything happens to you, it is to Jesus that is happening, because you are his. Then, this is another picture of him. He sent many people to prison. Now here is he in prison. And he also was killed. He gave his life. But no one has been so effective in Christianity as Paul. You know, Saul became Paul. He became the apostle, the number 12, to replace Judas. Literally, he became that number 12, because the one the disciples chose, we never heard from him. We heard one time and never heard from him. But Paul kept saying to everybody, "I am the apostle chosen by Jesus Christ himself." And that's what he became. Yes, he said this, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." Amen. To those who are the call according to what? According to his why. We are called according to his why, according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Underline this. When I was attending a week of prayer, Pastor Henry Farabin, a Canadian, that went to Brazil and learned Portuguese, and he came to the school where I was, and he conducted a week of revival. And first day, I found one way to hide under my bed and to not go to the meeting. And we had some of workers in the, I don't know what you call them, over there we call them monitors. But not monitor like a TV, but a person who, you know, some kind of assistant deans of boys. They will go to every room and check in. You know how I see some students doing like this. If you haven't been in boarding school, you know what I mean. It went checking, and in our school, every door had a window just like that. And some of us will put a paper, and here comes, remove that paper. We could not cover. And so they will come, and they will try to hide the best way. We put ourselves in behind the closet. We put our clothes on and pretend to be a... And we did everything possible. They would find us. And we found one way. There was a way for us to go to the attic and stay there and to hide, not to go to the chapel. But this day... They look, and finally they found me. Okay, Edelson, let's go. And we'll go and sit, and then I say, okay, you may force me to be here, but you cannot control my thoughts. So I decided I'm going to fish. And I don't know why, but suddenly I was so sleepy. And here comes, when you try to sleep, you have to put your hand to hold your head because you don't. So I put my hand, and here comes the, and doing this. Ah! But I was there. But this time, I pay attention to what the preacher was speaking. And something touched me that I started actually liking. The following night, they look at me and said, whoa, what happened? We didn't have to search for you, you're here. I said, ah, leave me alone, just like kids, young people, ah, just give me a break, leave me alone. And there I pay attention. And there was, he had somebody, a musician with him, his name, Raymond, and he played beautifully. And the pastor also had a beautiful voice. He was part of the Heralds. And he had a beautiful voice, and he was singing every night, and he was singing, why are you not coming to the Lord? Why are you not? And then little by little, it started, getting to me. Friday night, when the people call Friday night, I call the beginning of the Sabbath. After the meeting, I went to bed, and I couldn't sleep. You know, when you're young, you play sports, you work, and everything else. When it's time to go to bed, you're exhausted. You go to bed and sleep like a rock. Nobody can move. But I couldn't sleep. And there was this thing in my mind. Come. That's what I could hear. Come. Come. I got up. Some of you heard the story. I got up on a Sabbath morning. And I went to see Pastor Moises. He was the dean of boys. But he was also a minister. I went to see him. And he was always late for everything, the poor guy. And here he comes fast because he knew that he was late. And I walked behind him. Pastor Moises, I want to be baptized. He didn't pay attention. I get close to him. Pastor Moises, I want to be baptized today. And he stopped and looked at me and says, Edelson, let me say this to you. We are Seventh-day Adventists, and you are Catholic. You don't need it to be a Seventh-day Adventist, but don't make fun of our church. You're going too far with your game. That's the kind of reputation I had, sadly. But he says, don't. And I look at him and says, I want to be baptized today. He looked at me and noticed that I was serious. He said, what? I want to be baptized, and has to be today. I don't have any other day. is today. I'll never feel again what I feel today. It has to be today. And so immediately he called the board, and they interrogated me. He has interrogated. They asked me about the beliefs, and I told them, this book, I had the Bible, I said, this book, whatever this book says, I will do it. My faith is based on this book. At that time, he did not know, but I already have read the whole Bible. And so, that Sabbath, November 1968, woo, wow. I was baptized. Amen. I found the reason why that day. And I still have this why until today. And that's the why that makes me stand before you. Amen. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Let God guide your mind for the right purpose, that by testing you may discern that it is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12, verse 2. Brothers and sisters, God is the one who teaches us how brief life is, so that we may grow and be wise in this life. Psalms 90, verse 12, New Living Translation. When the why is clear, the how becomes easy. Sometimes we spend so much energy on the how before we grasp the why. Grasp the why in your life, and the how, what, when, everything else will be much simpler. Let Jesus lead you. God bless all of you.